Now I'd like to introduce to you the Reverend Lloyd Osborne. He's going to be ministering to us this morning. I think he's got a fire and brimstone message here. So.
Last time I was here, you remember? A month ago. Remember what I preached on? Oh, I could have done that again. What was all these nights up awake and praying, trying to get a sermon together for you folks? Hey, I preached on the book of Philippians last time. Remember Philippians? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I am confident, the Apostle Paul, he that has begun a good work in you will keep on doing it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's working on you. Okay? And he puts in your heart the will and to do of his good pleasure. Chapter 2, verse 13. But I'm not going to go there. We'll take a break and come back. Actually, because I have three sermons I got to give this morning. I make all my time use. No, actually, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, and the author is the Apostle Paul. Now, I'm going to add one more verse of Scripture, brother. We're going to go back to chapter 3 before we get to chapter 10. Okay? We've got to go all the way back to chapter 3. Okay? Because there's an important verse in here. Okay, it's amazing as you read this, the word wherefore is found seven times. Did you know that? We're going to get to that. The word let us, and that's not in the grocery store. I thought about bringing a head of lettuce just to confirm it. Yeah. He said, let us, and we're going to talk about that. That's found six or seven times in the scripture. The word therefore is therefore, wherefore, and let us. Three words. The Apostle Paul is talking. Now, we go to chapter 3, and it defines something to us right quickly in verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, I'm sure half of you feel holy this morning. The other half will not commit themselves, right? Not because you don't want to, but you're just being humble and mild and meek. Listen, look what it says. Wherefore, holy brethren. So we got the word wherefore. That's to add to. Why? What for? And then we have holy brethren. So who's he addressing? This is the Apostle Paul. Now he's writing to Christians. Okay? He's writing to believers that are scattered around in Asia Minor. Okay? Because they are struggling because they're under persecution. Do we know what persecution is? We do not know. We have a lot of rhetoric going around the country right now, but we do not know what it is to be persecuted. But there are parts of the world today where Christians are dying for the cause of Christ. In some countries of the world, they are arresting Christians. There's one country, and I can't tell you what it is, they arrest 10 Christians every day. They have set out to try to annihilate the believer. But they set out to arrest Christians, and they end up killing them. Wow. Don't that make you feel excited today? But listen, so here's the church in the New Testament. Hebrews is in the New Testament. It's in church, period time. And Paul is writing to believers that are scattered in Asia Minor and in that part of the world. And he's calling them brethren, holy brethren. And then the next word, partaker. You are partakers of something. Amen. Now, when I married my wife, I became partakers of something. I thought it was wealth and riches. Then she married me and she thought she got wealth and riches. And here we both are today. Right? Hey, but we're partners of something. What are you partaking of? Notice this, partakers of a heavenly calling. Now, if you're taking notes, somebody was, a few weeks ago I was preaching and said, I can't do this with my phone anymore. I've got to have a notepad because I give too many scriptures out. But I'm going to give you one right now. John chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. Write that down. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's getting ready to leave. He knows he's going to be arrested and crucified. All right, hung on the cross. But he tells the brethren, listen, I call you friends because I tell you everything that I'm going to do and what's going to happen. But the next verse says, Because, listen, I have chosen you. You've not chosen me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said to the disciples, and there's some of you sitting here this morning, that God has called you first. I mean, you didn't pick up the cross and say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. No, some of you drug your feet all the way to the cross, right? And some of us are still dragging our feet because we're reluctant to lay it down. But Paul says to us, listen, we are partakers of a heavenly calling. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should be my disciple. Jesus, I called you. So what happens when he calls you? He wants you to lay aside, lay down, okay? And then the greatest example he has for you and for the church that's going through suffering and persecution, and what's happening in the Bible days when reading this, the persecution, he says, I want to give you one great example for you to pattern your life after. That is, look what it says, partakers of the heavenly calling, let us consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, who is Christ Jesus. Jesus is my example. He is your example to follow. He's the pattern. He went before us. He has gone before, and he paved the way. So notice what it says. Now, let's go to chapter 10, shall we? Consider what Jesus did. Two things I want you to consider as you turn to chapter 10, okay, verse 19. I want you to consider two things. What Jesus did, number one, when Jesus came into this world and walked on this earth and walked before the disciples and came to the place he laid his life down, first of all, he identified with you. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was willing to put himself beside you. He called you friend, John 15, but he also said, I'm willing to identify with you. I'll walk with you and I'll walk before you. Because he put on human flesh. He left heaven. Hebrews tells us, and Ephesians and Hebrews tell us the great story of the work that Jesus Christ did for you and me. It's a great book to read and study. Because what Jesus did for you and me, he left heaven, he came to earth to walk with you and me, identify with our human weakness, identify with our temptations, identify with our trials, okay? He identified with all of these things that you identify with. He identifies with your loneliness. He identifies with your discouragements, and your failures, and things that don't happen the way you want them to happen. He identifies with you in that area. Not only did he identify with you in life, he's identifying you in death. What? Yeah. He's identifying himself with you, even in his death. He laid down his life for you and I. Not for himself, but for you. Okay? Can you imagine that he would consider you and you today? That he would call you and choose you? My goodness, think of that. How much love he identifies, okay? All right? And so we come to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, and we're going to read, because here we get into the letters of let us. And as you read them, mark them, ear note them. Notice there's five things I have outlined here in the let us that Jesus said, the Apostle Paul's let us. Okay? Number one, we go to chapter 10, 19. Having therefore boldness, brethren, okay, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Remember, the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle. Only the high priest could go into the holy place. Once a year, they put a rope around his leg, Andrew. Look out for that one. Dennis, we could be both in trouble on that. And then there was bells on it. If the bells stopped ringing, the other guys had to pull the rope. I mean, something had happened inside there. But Jesus went into the Holy of Holies. When he died on the cross, the Bible says it became dark and the veil was rent in two. And now you and I, because of Jesus' death, we have access to go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, into before him. Now, Hebrews chapter 2 tells us something exciting about you and I and our relationship with God, that in the ages to come, that we will be seated with Him in the heavenly places. And in the ages to come, He'll show us the splendor of heaven and all its magnitude. Think of it. We get to sit with Him. Right now, He wants you to walk with Him. Okay? He wants you to walk with Him. Right, but in one day we're going to sit with Him. But so He says, having boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way. See, Jesus did the Old Testament. They brought sacrifices, but it had to be done over and over and repetition. It didn't do away with it. It just covered it up. None of you have ever done that, have you? But Jesus came and did away with the old and made a new way. Because the old was inefficient, so Jesus came and shed His blood by one man's sin. Sin entered the world by one man's death. And right, all can be made righteous in Christ Jesus. We are made righteous. We're forgiven. So the work that Jesus is doing is, number one, He's redeeming you. His work is He's redeeming. We sang a song, He ransomed me. He ransomed me. He redeemed me. He bought me back from the slave market. And He set me free. Hallelujah. Amen? And so we have a new and living way, which He consecrated. Look what it says, through the veil. The veil was torn down. That is to say, we have now a high priest, Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. Jesus is interceding for you and me. Hallelujah. So, in light of this work that Jesus is doing, He's compelling us to and encouraging these Christians to do four or five things. He said, one, let us... What's the next word? Draw near. Have you got verse, you got 22 up there? Let us in, they'll keep going. Let us draw near with a true heart. He's saying, I want you to come close. He wants you to come close. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Listen, this is what Jesus did. He washed my sins away. Okay, so He wants you, because of that, to come near to Him, draw near, walk with Him, sit with Him, talk with Him. Okay, let us draw near, let us come close to Him. Okay, let us draw near, having our hearts with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Now, the second thing He wants you to do, He wants you to come close. Don't stand off. Many of those in Jesus' day stood off. And Matthew chapter 10 and Mark chapter 6, the Bible tells us that Jesus was teaching in His own hometown, and the multitudes around Him says, oh, that's the carpenter boy. We know him. They didn't respect Him. They didn't honor Him. You know what? And that was amazing. But Jesus said, let's come near. Then let us, let's go to the next one. Verse 23, we have 22, let us draw near. Okay, 23, let us hold fast. Hold firm to it. Okay, the profession of our faith without wavering. Okay, no, that's not difficult to understand, is it? Let us hold fast. Okay, let us hold dear the profession of our faith. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There he's saying, hey, be steady, hold fast. Okay, don't be moved. And that's what He's saying here, that let us hold fast the profession. Sometimes we're tempted when you've done everything you know to do. What do you do? When you've done everything you need to know to do, everything you've tried, you know what you're supposed to do? Stand. Ephesians says, stand. Having done all, I'm standing. Lord, I'm confessing You as Lord. I'm believing You, and I've made the best steps that I know. Now I'm relying on You. Hold fast, because there's many that are abandoning their faith. Many of them are throwing it out the door. Well, it don't work anymore. Be steadfast. Hold steady. To your confession of faith, okay? Now, there's a reason for this. Look at what verse 24 says in Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another. There need to be another translation because I use this a lot. Okay. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Notice, it's not all about you. Don't come alone. Bring somebody else with you. All right, we're going to see the king. We say, let's go as the king, but let's take somebody with us. Take your neighbor with you. Take your fellow employee with you. Hey, he may be a rat. Don't put that on tape. You know what? Hey, listen, you know what the Lord did in the book of Acts chapter 9? There was this guy by the name of Ananias from Damascus. He was a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus, the Lord appeared to him one day and said, hey, listen, Ananias, I want you to go and pray for a guy by the name of Saul. Hold it right there, Ananias said. Don't you who this guy is? He's a dangerous fellow. He's killed people. He's harmed a lot of people. And the angel of the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said, listen, Ananias, you don't know anything about this guy, but I have picked him out. I've chosen him for a special purpose, for a great work. See, sometimes a little rascal in the neighborhood, the ornery kid, the rebellious kid, get a hold of him by the love of God, and God can turn that guy around and that kid around and do more with him than some of us others. See, you take others with you. You and I take others. So notice what it says. Let us consider one another. Our motivation is, listen, today's a lousy day. You heard about the preacher said, I'm not going to church today. Right? His wife said, you're going. I ain't going. They don't like me. They don't like me. She said, yeah, but you're the pastor. Get over it, buddy. Right? Get over it. I'm going to go. I don't want to go. But listen, sometimes you don't feel, but you go anyway. You know why? Because other people, there are thousands of people watching you. Somebody said that we influence 5,000 people in our lifetime. That's a lot of people. Well, I hope I find one or two that are real nice and they consider me down the road. Hey, listen. Think about it. You influence 5,000 people. You ever walk into some place, they say, oh, I remember you. Huh? Some of them you want to remember, some you don't want to remember. Right? It's true. We meet a lot of people in this world. And some needs a hand to grab a hold of. Somebody needs a shoulder to lean on. Somebody needs a word of encouragement. Then there's some people we just like to stay away from. But listen, you don't know. Be the Andrew in the crowd. Be the Andrew who went out and got Simon Peter. Peter, the most unlikely disciple again. But notice what God did with him. And so you and I, we're provoking one another unto good works. We're there to encourage them. You're to encourage your neighbor. Come along with me. Okay? And then we look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. See, you can be an example of the believer to so many out there that don't. And there are so many out there that need Jesus. Their hearts are hardened. Let us consider one another. Let us to provoke into love and good works. Now, I want you to go over now to chapter 12. Okay? Chapter 12. We have one more moment. We have chapter 12, wherefore. There's that word, wherefore. Another translation says, therefore. Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded by a great cloud. What happened in chapter 10? Paul talks about something, then he interrupts, and he talks about all these people in the faith chapter. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's the faith chapter. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside the weight. Now, Paul is using the terminology also that has to do with in that Greek culture and stuff, they had the Olympics, and we got crazy Olympics going around in our country. More time on their TV with golf and this program, football and basketball, and this program and that program, and race. Listen, Paul was using terminology that had to deal with athletics in the Greek culture. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about, thousands of people would gather to the Colosseum and watch. Listen, Paul tells us about the thousands of people have gone before us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But not only the past tense, but the present tense. There's a past tense, and then there's a present tense. Is right now. Now, wherefore, seeing we are also, this is present, compassed about with us a great cloud of witnesses. There are people that know you and you've run across, whether you're 19 or 9 or 99. You have been surrounded and you've come in contact with people that know the Lord, okay? And they're watching you and you're watching them, right? Don't tell me you're not, because you are. You're watching them. Because you'll say, did you see Albert? He was really grumpy this morning in church. Yeah, right. Okay, listen. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Notice, we got to recognize there are people watching. And that's good, because you need to be example to them. Let us. There's this other. So here's another thing we have to do. We're to come boldly before the presence of the Lord. We're to consider one another. We're to hold fast to our profession. And then we're to lay aside things that may tend to hinder you. Things that are a temptation to you. I get in trouble again, Dennis. I may need a helper. Some of you need to turn your phones off. Some of you need to change the channel on TV. Some of you may need to find a new friend. You know? He says, listen, let us lay aside the temptation or the tendencies that would lead you astray. Okay? The tends to lead you astray. Let us lay aside. He's talking about the athletic in the Greek culture and the marathons and all that stuff. They have their great royal robes and the uniforms, but when they get ready to go into the arena or on the track, they take everything off, okay? And they all lay aside that royal robe and garment, and then they run so they're not entangled with the garments that are on. And Paul is saying, church, you're in the midst of a struggle and there's persecution, but listen, don't let the persecution, don't let the hardship, don't let the suffering that you're going through, don't let the trials that are trying you or tempting you right now, but hold steady and run with the patience. There's that other word. Notice why there's two of those in this verse. Now, and mark it. Let us lay aside that which would be a hindrance to you. What's going to distract you? Maybe, I got somebody wants me to go fishing, but I got this group of men I need to meet with. I'm going to meet with them for coffee. Brothers from the church. Well, I have to delay my fishing so I can go here to have coffee with the fellas. Now, I may not like coffee, but I'm going to go to have coffee with the fellas because I want to be an encouragement. See? So I got to delay my fishing trip because I want to go do fellowship and encourage the brethren. Because Albert might just need some encouragement today. He was grumpy Sunday. Well, he stayed up late. That's what Mama said. Okay, get back to the order of business. Lay aside the weight that so easily besets us. And next thing, notice, let us, what? Did you get your, what does it say? What's that word? I'm not athletic. Run. See the word? Are you in? Let us run. What he means is, I want you to keep on moving forward, going forward in your walk of faith in Jesus Christ. Keep on going in with the Lord. Walk with him. Run with him. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? He will not leave you nor forsake you. And I think there's one more verse that I need to add. to this passage of Scripture. Okay, so he wants us to run. So you got the 5 points, and there's one more he wants us to do. Okay, chapter 13, the last chapter, verse 15. By him, referring to Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer a sacrifice. You know what kind of sacrifice Jesus wants you to offer? That, you got it. Offer the sacrifice of praise. One of the things that you can do in your life is give God thanks. Praise him for who he is. Praise him for what he's doing. Praise him for what he's done. Praise him what he's going to do. Because he that had begun a good work, you will perform it the day of Jesus Christ. He has begun it. Now, God works in ways you cannot see. He works in ways you don't understand. I'll give you one example as I close this morning. One of the great examples is in the Old Testament. I love it. And you go back to the book of Genesis, and there's this young boy by the name of Joseph. You got to go back and read the life of Joseph and Jacob. Jacob was a rascal. God used him. But look at Joseph, the young Joseph. He talked about a dream. He didn't know what was going on. He was just having nightmares. But listen, he told his mom, dad about this event. Was going, I see I'm having a dream. And what happened is his brothers, half-brothers hated him, right? They despitefully used him. They sold him in slavery. You talk about a kid growing up in an environment, yet in the middle of an environment, he walked with integrity. He walked honestly. He did not violate his conviction or his faith in the Lord, Jesus Christ. There's another man in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 4, 2 and 3 and 5. And that name is Samuel. Samuel's the same thing. A young boy, his mama asked for him and she gave him to the Lord all of his life. And he grew up in the temple. Listen, the temple was not a godly place. Eli was ungodly. His sons were ungodly. They were stealing out of the temple. They were stealing from the offerings. All right, they were, and yet here is this young boy, Samuel, growing up in the middle of all, he saw all the atrocities going on, and yet he walked with integrity. He walked with honesty. He walked pleasing the Lord, because Paul, both Joseph and Samuel learned to die daily. And so as we come, let us offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's the fruit of my lips, giving thanks in his name. Listen, have you stopped to give thanks to the Lord? Amen. Are you giving him thanks? Even though you're going through a rough time right now, even though you're going through some trials, even though you're facing some decisions, you don't know what you're going to do? Are you? Some of you have got some loved ones that are sick. Some have got, but listen, God knows what's going on, but he wants you to walk uprightly with him. He wants you to finish the course. He doesn't want you to bail out. He doesn't want you to stop. There's a temptation there to do that. All of us face it. We're tempted. I've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. He won't fail you. He wants you to be steady. Dad, mom, young man, young daughter, God wants you to be strong. Some of you are facing some decisions in your life right now. But God wants you to let him have his way in it all. Let us. As we come to the close, can you say this morning, are you willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to be one of the let us. I'm willing to let us. I'm willing to be willing to be. Have your way in my heart and life today. I surrender. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. It will not return void, but it shall accomplish that for which it is sent forth. Thank you that we have learned this morning. We have boldness to come into your presence. and I'm going to hold on faithfully to your promise. You promised you will fulfill and do. So we thank you for that this morning. We pray you'll bless the pastors while they're gone. Lord, encourage them, refresh them in the name of Jesus Christ, and bless these that are continuing moving forward in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.